Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with the Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details. Hey, and welcome to the Short Stuff. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and Jerry's here for Dave. So this is Short Stuff as usual. Let's go.
So can I tell you my inspiration for this was, I was at the lake the other day. We go to a lake here in Georgia. I'm not going to name it because I don't want to be stalked.
Okay. Lake No Name.
Lake No Name. And I was at the lake the other day doing a project, and I was very hot because it's very hot in Georgia right now.
Whatever.
And I went to jump in to cool down, and right as I was going to take a leap off the dock, I saw a very large, like a 2.5-foot garfish kind of treacle toward the surface. And I've seen them before out there occasionally, but it just scared the life out of me because it is a terrifying looking fish.
Yeah.
If you don't know what a garfish looks like, just do a little image search, and they have these long, very sharp toothed snouts, and they are terrifying. It looks like something that you would find in a river in South America and not one that you would jump into a lake in Georgia.
Right. And also, you travel back in time 50 million years too, because they definitely look prehistoric for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And this is specifically about the alligator gar, and this comes from our old friends at How Stuff Works and Michelle Konstantinovsky. Great name.
Very nice.
But the alligator gar is super old, right?
Yeah, I think they found fossils as old as 100 million years old, not just 50. And they actually, the reason that it's called an alligator gar is because it has a long snout too, but rather than being pointed like most other gar, it's flattened, giving it kind of like a shovel-like appearance, or actually like an alligator snout. And the Latin name for it is Atractosteus spatula. And that's right, spatula. It's the spatula fish is another way to put it. And it really does look like an alligator snout when you see a picture of these things.
Yeah, they are huge. They're 7 living species of gar, and the alligator gar is the largest by far. Mm-hmm. The other way you can tell a diff is they have 2 rows of teeth, the alligator gar on the upper jaw instead of just the 1 row of teeth of the regular gar, and I think their head is a bit wider.
Yeah, and I think normally they're something like about 160 pounds to maybe 6 feet long, which is enormous for a fish.
Yes.
But they have been, found up to 350 pounds and 10 feet long, which is even more enormous. I think the record, at least in Texas, is 302 pounds. That was back in 1953. And the reason we bring up Texas is because a YouTuber named Peyton Moore, who's a conservationist, posted a video on his channel, Wildlife, last May, because he caught one of these things, and it was 8 feet long and probably about 300 pounds.
Did you watch that video?
I did not.
It is a very large fish, and he likened it to kind of hanging on to the end of a car that's trying to roll down a driveway.
I saw that.
I don't see how you bring in a fish like this that's that heavy, but he knew what he was doing, and it's just enormous, man. I think at the end he had that, he obviously released it, but he was kind of measuring it and showing it off for the camera, and this thing just like whipped around to sort of wriggle and just like just it's so strong it just knocks this guy over and then swims away, and he's like, well, like, I guess I was gonna let it go, but apparently that just happened now.
Right, good for him for letting it go, or at least planning to.
Well, you do let them go because apparently they're not good for eating. They, for a couple of reasons, they don't taste great, and they are covered with these it's almost like a armored scale. They're called ganoid scales, and it's like that like an armor you would see on a dinosaur, basically.
Right, yeah, they're very dinosaur-like. And yeah, and the even if you can dress them, or I should say clean them to eat, like the meat that you get off of it's not going to be very good. And if you find any roe or fish eggs in a gar, you want to leave those alone because they're toxic no matter what gar species you're dealing with. So, yeah, not really a delicacy in any way, shape, or form.
Should we take a break?
I say we take a break, and then we'll come back and talk more about alligator gar.
Hey, everybody. Chuck here. Are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals.
Yeah, but you can drink water as clean as nature intended with Richard's Rainwater.
That's right. Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain. Richard's Rainwater is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants that are commonly found in groundwater.
And since rain is naturally pure, there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means Richard's Rainwater contains no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Just pure drops of rain.
That's right. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater, perfect for sipping or mixing into your favorite cocktail. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. Enjoy pure, refreshing rainwater. Sip the sky.
Hey everybody, we're here to tell you about Viator, a tool that you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world.
That's right. The Viator app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you're traveling or what you're interested in.
Yep. Viator can help you plan better travel experiences. 300,000 plus travel experiences to choose from means you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy.
That's right. You can also enjoy real traveler reviews to get insider information from people who've already been on the experience that you're considering. Plus, you get free cancellation that helps you plan for the unexpected.
Yeah, and Viator offers 24/7 customer service, so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. So download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. So, Chuck, I found out some pretty interesting stuff about them.
Let's hear it.
That an alligator gar is an opportunistic eater, it'll eat basically anything. I saw that they'll eat deer and raccoons if they get a chance. They'll eat waterfowl, turtles, crabs, other fish. But one of the ways that they catch some of these things, especially some of the harder to catch ones, they play dead. They ambush their prey by playing dead. They'll float and make another fish or a raccoon or something that's going to swim past think that it's dead. Then all of a sudden, whoo-bah, it grabs it out of the water and that thing's dead.
And they do eat all those things, and they have those huge alligator-like mouths and teeth, so they're super scary. But apparently they're not going to come after you. I was just being a little baby boy the other day when I got scared and wouldn't jump in. If I would have jumped in, this thing would have scattered and gone far away. It wouldn't have said, human arm must eat. Right. They're just not going to come after you. So you don't need to fear. I think there's never been on record a case of an alligator gar attacking somebody, right?
Right. Yeah, that's what I've seen as well. But, I mean, I guess if you had seen a gar that was floating, you would have wanted to steer clear of that one because maybe it was going to ambush your arm, You said that you saw them in your lake. I'm taking it that your no-name lake is freshwater, right?
No, it's a saltwater lake in the middle of Georgia.
You never know. There's some saltiness in Georgia for sure.
It's freshwater. And they're only in North America, which is pretty surprising.
Yeah, but they used to be, remember we said that their fossils have been dated back to 100 million years. They used to be found all over the place. But yeah, now they're only in North America. They're a freshwater species. And they tend to like parts of like bodies of water with poor oxygen. So like say like maybe a cove where you'd launch a boat, or a backwater of a river that's kind of outside of the turbulence, or even swamps or bayous. And one reason they can survive in these kind of lower oxygen environments is they have an air bladder that not only helps them float, it also distributes oxygen to their blood. Slowly but surely. So they don't have to take in that much oxygen because they can hold a bunch at once.
Yeah, and I think they're in Central America too. I just wanted to put that on the record.
So let's say the Americas.
What? But not South America.
Man, these alligator gar are really tough to pin down.
I think North and Central America, because I did see something about Costa Rica.
So the Americas.
Okay. So people, just because you don't eat them, people still do fish for them. Like this guy, I think there are sort of, there are a lot of regulations in place because they, are really slow to reach the age where they can make little gar. Mm-hmm. They spawn in very specialized areas. So they're very ripe for overfishing and for, you know, like shrinking of species. But, for that reason, they're highly, highly regulated, and you're basically, at least in Florida, and I think a lot of other places, you're only going to be given a permit to fish for these things if it's scientific research or you're working in like managing the species or something like that.
I tittered earlier, by the way, I want to say at an inappropriate time, but it was because you said they're ripe for overfishing, and I just thought of a ripe gar, and that sounds so gross.
They're scary looking. Early on, though, that like, you know, earlier humans would fish for them and do all sorts of things. That armor-like scales, those ganoid scales. They made jewelry out of them and tools and things like that because they're really tough. And I think they would use their skin for products and the skin oil for different things.
Yeah, who knows what?
Do you have anything else?
I don't have anything else. I think we've talked alligator gar to death.
Well, I guess the last thing we should mention is that they, even though they do are opportunistic eaters, I think there used to be an idea that they would devastate other fish populations, and that's apparently not the case, right?
Yeah, that's right. So they were overfished because they were considered a nuisance fish. So they were trying to protect fish that they wanted by fishing the gar, alligator gar out, but turns out they were wrong. I do have one more thing.
Okay.
The name gar for these fish is comes from the Anglo-Saxon word for spear.
That is good. And I've got one more thing.
Okay.
I cannot help but think of a garfish without thinking of the great, great documentary, Vernon, Florida, my favorite documentary of all time by the great Errol Morris. And one of the characters, the guy that talks like this, he talks about swimming in the river and then, oh, you come up on one of those garfish. You better look out, brother.
Really?
And I saw that movie in college, right? I didn't know what a garfish was. And it was many years later that I saw a gar. And I was like, oh, I get it now.
I got to see that movie once and for all.
It's just, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. You got anything else? I think, yeah. You got anything else?
I got nothing else.
All right. Well, that means everybody's short stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.